Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy Buzz. I'm joined by my dude Goose, aka Bulls Scripted, and we're here to recap a Chicago Bulls victory. That's right, Chicago Bulls victory, 102-96 against the Boston Celtics. Before we do that, be sure you're going to ontapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at ontapsportsnet. Following Goose at Bull Scripted, me at Buzz on Tap. Anywhere you can listen to podcasts, you can listen to us. So give us a 5-star rating and review because that's cool and tough. Dude, I got to do one of these for this one. Crack them.
Crack them.
Bulls win, man. And it was a really pleasing game to watch for the most part. Defense was played. Vooch started off hot. And in the second half, Coby White was reborn. Initial thoughts, my man, and how you doing?
I'm doing better now that we actually beat a real basketball team. That first half, I can't say I was excited about anybody outside of Vooch, but you had to think in the second half that it couldn't be that bad again. These guys are professionals, and sure enough, they did come through. Coby White didn't really have a very efficient night, but low turnovers, 7 assists, big defensive play at the end of that game. And then ice the game with all the free throws. Like, I can't complain about the game in the second half for Coby. So, first half, shit. Second half, great. I guess that's what happens when you get extended opportunity. You get the chance to make up for the things he did wrong. And he made up for it tonight.
He absolutely did. I mean, the first half, it started off really slow, except for one Nikola Vucevic. He was absolutely fantastic. He ends up finishing the game 13 for 23, 3 for 6 from downtown. Had 29 points, 9 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. We were talking about Coby White before. He started off not so great in the first half. He ends up going 5 for 14, 3 for 8 from downtown, 6 for 6 from the free throw line, 19 points, 7 assists, 3 rebounds, 1 steal, 1 block, and 1 turnover.
He was 1 for 7 in the first half. So if he finished, what'd you say, 5 for 14?
Yeah, 5 for 14 he finished, yep.
That means he was 4 for 7 in the second half, and he got to the line mainly a lot to do with, you know, the intentional fouls at the end of the game, but nobody gives a shit if you make those.
Right. I mean, and at the end of the day, man, I think the, like, the biggest thing that we need to bring up here is just the defensive effort that the Chicago Bulls had tonight. And over the last two games, kind of, you know, they've been playing a lot better on ball defense, a lot more communication on switches and everything like that. And I've just been very impressed by them. Seems like they found another gear, and it's nice to see when you have a guy like Zach LaVine, who's your most consistent scorer. I mean, outside of Vooch, obviously, who's a very consistent scorer as well. But you know what I mean? Zach LaVine is the best player on this team, arguably, but in my mindset, he is. And it's nice to see them come out against a team in Boston that's 5th in the Eastern Conference, albeit they are missing Kemba Walker. They were missing Marcus Smart tonight as well, you know, but
I don't give a shit. We're missing an all-star. I don't want to hear that one tonight.
Oh, well, right. I'm just saying, well, you know, a guy like Kemba Walker can really help initiate their offense.
I'm just saying in general, we were without our all-star. You were without Kemba, who's actually hurt your team at times this year, and Smart, who is the heart of your team. So you guys are definitely missing pieces, but we'll call it even, and I'll take a W against a playoff team, which we haven't got to celebrate like 5 times yet this season. So I'm pretty pumped about it. I mean, we took a W from a playoff team without our best player, and I'm sure there's a good section of Twitter right now going, well, are we better without Zach LaVine? So I guess we might as well touch it. We don't want to touch it. I don't want to touch it, but
no, I don't.
You don't want to touch it?
I don't think that you're no, I don't think that you're better without your best player. I don't think that. You know, I really don't. I if you want to give your opinion on it, you can go right the motherfucker ahead, man. But I think that Zach is, if not the best, he's a close number 2 to Vooch. So you know, I think that
so but that second half of your statement, what if it plays out that Billy is demanding Zach to feed Vooch as Coby was asked to do down the stretch of the game? No, Zach, I don't want you taking the shots. I want you to dump the ball off to Vooch, and we're going to play off of what he creates by the double team that's going to be thrown at him. What is Zach all right with that?
I mean, I guess we have to find out.
Yeah, I mean, and the way I would put this is, you should not be better without your best player. There is no evidence that Zach is not the best talent and the best player on this team outside of Vucevic. So it is up to Billy and these coaches to figure out how to utilize that when you have it back, and also keep Coby White in this state of mind where he's aggressive, he's confident, and he's ready to play basketball. Because you need the combination of both, but correct. There's no way that the Bulls should be better without Zach. I'm not going to read too much into this. If we win the remainder of the games that we have with Zach out,
then we can have a conversation.
Yeah, then I don't know.
Right. I do want to point out a guy, too, here tonight in Garrett Temple, who played pretty good defense on Jason Tatum. Jason Tatum did struggle tonight mightily, Goose. I mean, he did have a triple-double, though. He did have a triple-double. He went 14, 13, and 10. He did, however, turn the ball over five times. But he went 3-for-17 from the field, 1-for-4 from downtown. And Garrett Temple had 31 minutes to Tatum's 37. But Temple played very good defense on him tonight. And Temple also hit a couple big three-pointers tonight. Especially when Boston was starting to kind of make their little bit of a comeback, trying to get back into the game after the Bulls had taken their first lead in the third quarter, Boston would charge forward. Temple iced him with two threes there at times. What did you think about his play tonight? Because that was Bartholomew, as you like to call him, out there tonight. It wasn't as sexy on the stat sheet, but I mean, he did a lot of things tonight that really helped benefit this team and help them get the win.
We got Bartholomew instead of Garrett tonight, and I mean, let me get the bad stuff out of the way. He did have that turnover that ended up being called for a jump ball because they couldn't decide who touched it last between, I think it was Waters and P. Will. Mm-hmm. So he did have that horrible turnover up 4. He did take a couple of bad shots down the 4th, 2, but he put Tatum in a prison. And Tatum, being a superstar caliber player, he did impact the game in other ways when his shot wasn't falling, but Temple tortured that man. And that was interesting to see because I don't consider Temple like a lockdown defender. He's average, above average, not elite. But what he did to Jason Tatum tonight at 6'5", like, he's very undersized for that matchup. I was shocked. And I'm sure Jason Tatum is probably going to watch the film and be like, what the fuck? How did this? I wasn't ready for that.
No, he wasn't ready.
Exactly. So, Temple, I think Temple, if you're taking the game ball away from Vooch, because his wall in his house is probably too crowded with game balls anyway, I think you give the game ball to Temple.
Yeah, he played a great defensive game. Like I said, hit a couple big shots. It was huge. Off the bench, Thaddeus Young hit a couple big shots.
That's not closing lately, though.
I'm sorry?
That hasn't been closing lately.
No, he has not been closing lately. But in the third quarter and in the beginning of the fourth, he did some good things there that helped this team stay afloat. So I want to give him a shout-out where it's due. Troy Brown Jr., another guy we like to talk about a lot on this show. 2-for-3. He had 4 points, 2 steals, 1 assist, 2 rebounds.
How many turnovers?
None.
None?
He played.
Why do I feel like I'm remembering a play that was, maybe it wasn't like a turnover, maybe it resulted in a jump ball, so he escaped it. It was the bad alley-oop pass to Temple in transition.
Trolling me right now. Chai Sports Fan is just dick. Stop giving me bad juju. Knock it off. You're being ignorant. Saying that I'm gonna
Garrett here for the foreseeable future, and it's all gonna be your fault.
Yeah, he's saying that I'm going to screw Garrett Temple like I screwed Sato when I said he was being efficient. Stop it. You're being ignorant. But, I really like the way Temple played, and then Troy Brown Jr. played some good defense tonight. He had a very key turnaround J, and it was super sweet, man. A little fadeaway J that he hit.
And Pritchard? The duck on duck crime?
Yep. I loved it. I loved what I saw tonight. I mean, I loved everything that I saw from the Bulls tonight. Daniel Tice, he might not have shot great, but that guy is just he's in the mud. Daniel Tice lives in the mud. And it's
You could tell Billy trusted him because on that challenge in the last 5 seconds there,
Billy didn't question it.
Tice put his hand up, Billy went.
Yep. Tice is bent. Obviously, he's in the starting lineup now. He's starting over a guy that you thought was going to be a part of your core, you know, in Lauri Markkanen. I mean, he is getting the run here because Billy Donovan believes that he's the best player to be in the game to help win ball games, and he's the best player to complement Vooch.
Yeah, we literally sent the scraps of Mo Wagner and Luke Kornet to Boston for a guy that has now supplanted once Baby Dirk and the veteran of all veterans and Thaddeus Young in the starting lineup. That is crazy. And they got paid to do it. Like, we got paid to improve there. And we've already heard it come out. The front office is very happy with Tice. Billy loves Tice. And he is a guy that they are really hoping they can find a way to keep going forward. And I don't think you can argue with results. His presence has most definitely been felt since he's got here.
And I would hate this to be just an acquire and then lose him. I am really growing to – I mean, I wasn't opposed to him coming over. When you go back to the episode, our NBA trade deadline special that we had when we first acquired Vooch. Obviously, we spent a lot of time on Vooch and Troy Brown Jr., but we did – talk a lot about Daniel Tice and what he could potentially bring to this team. And I think he's brought that to this team. You know, I love that he went over three tonight, but I love that he can step out and stretch the floor as well. He's not a guy just that lives in the mud, like I had said before, but he can finesse a little bit and he can hit that three. And yeah, I really liked what I saw out of him, man.
As long as you don't punch him in the back of the fucking dome piece, he's a really good defensive post presence too. I couldn't believe that Tristan Thompson got away with that. And it wasn't intentional.
No, it wasn't intentional at all.
At least, if it was intentional, it was one of those, I'm going to make this look real good. But right. I don't believe it was intentional. And it was just an elbow. It wasn't actually like a punch, but he caught him in the back of the dome real good.
It looked like it was right above his temple in the back of his head that staggered him a little bit. Probably got the white flash. The word
temple again. We're fucked. We're getting Garrett. We're getting Garrett.
My bad. I'm just gonna stop. So saying. No,
I mean it would really hurt. You hear me, Acme? I have feelings. You can't get rid of this Daniel. You get rid of the other Daniel, so you have to keep this Daniel. Talking about Daniel Gift. Tice was key tonight. Temple, the vets came through. I don't know why Satoransky was put on the floor for the defensive possession after a timeout.
Are you talking about in the fourth there? I was surprised that they didn't go to TBJ or something like TBJ that in that moment.
The other ex-Celtic Green, a perimeter defender that maybe would have stayed in front of Waters instead of letting him go smooth sailing. Either way, we get the W. Billy escapes criticism for the night. Kobe escapes the criticism of the first half with a good finish. Vooch playing like a fucking all-star. Pat Will.
I do want to touch on him before we move on. I wanted to touch on Pat Will just because tonight he went 3-for-6. He was efficient, in the shots that he took. He did finish with 6.6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks, but he did have two turnovers. It's just the indecisiveness with P. Will sometimes that drives me up a wall. And I know he's young. He's a rookie. I just want to see him be a little bit more aggressive with the ball. I also had a couple gripes with his one turnover. In the second quarter, he tried threading the needle, man. He tried throwing a pass through two defenders on a break to Sato, who was breaking on the right side of the court. And I'm like, Pat, bring the ball up the court. And then if you assess the situation before you go and try to make this fast break, because then even you have Sato, who's pretty sneaky athletic. I'm not going to, hate on him. He's sneaky athletic. He can get to the rim and make something happen. But even then, he's going to have two defenders crashing on him. I don't know why he decided to do that. It's just like little rookie mistakes that. That's why I'm not mad at him about it. They're rookie mistakes that I think that he will eventually clean up. Because he did have a great pass to Thad Young in the early fourth quarter. I have it in my notes here. Early fourth quarter, he had a great pass to Thad Young in the paint when Boston was kind of going on a run that kind of helped stop the bleeding. So I just, he had another one too. He was trying to get through a few defenders. Oh, see, Chi Sports fan beat me to it. He had another turnover where he tried to split three defenders. Yeah, but he did play good defense tonight on Jaylen Brown. So I'll give credit where credit's due there. Jaylen Brown is a very good scorer. We know this. Yeah, he's a very good player. He's improved his game.
He started the game 5-5, 6-6.
Oh, I mean, he finished 10-for-15, man. He had 23 points, 4 boards, 1 assist. you know.
So no, but that is a good point. I mean, usually when you have these better players in the league and you're matched up against them, you're kind of like, ah, shit. But I can't say, outside of like a couple of the wide open looks that Brown got in transition, that when Pat was matched up on him, that I ever was really all that concerned. It was like, all right, no, we're good.
It's using his length to his advantage. Now, someone said something about him today. I don't know who said it. Was it Thad? Somebody said that he was really good defensively using his length, and they're, you know, really behind him in that realm of his game. I have to find the tweet. I'll look for it here.
I think you're talking about Tice, actually. That he talks to Pat a lot, that he sees a lot of potential in him in the defensive end with his size and his length and
right,
all that fun stuff.
Yeah, I felt comfortable with him on Jaylen Brown tonight. I thought that he did a great job. And like I said, I can't speak any more highly of just the defense the past two games. They've played very good defense, and this is a trend that I'd like to see continue.
So is Billy going to be smart enough to stack these lineups with more defensive presences when we get Zach back? Is he going to be okay with not playing Kobe or Satoransky, maybe playing Sato and Kobe both off the bench? Just because this formula is what we found to work, and you swap out a negative defender, whether it's Sato or Kobe, to put next to Zach, and we lose this defensive, you know.
So you're like hypothetically saying have Zach run the point and then putting Temple or TBJ next to him.
Yeah, I mean, what you're asking Zach to do as the point guard is the same thing you're asking Kobe to do.
But that goes back to your point that you made earlier. Is Zach going to go up the court and initiate this offense and not look for his own shot? I mean, that's what you have to ask yourself.
I think that's supposed to be the beauty, though, is Zach is supposed to be the better version of Kobe. So if you put Zach in for Kobe, well, then you don't have somebody going 1-for-7 with wide open looks because you had a double crash on Vooch. You know, if Zach's the initiator up top and somebody, you can't leave Zach. So I don't know. I mean, I guess that's what we're coming back to is, if you put Zach right where Kobe is in this current winning formula of having positive defenders around Kobe and Vooch, if you do the same exact thing with Zach, are we going to get the same success? And I think that you should, because Zach's the better version of what Kobe is. Neither of them are a point guard. But if you're just dumping the ball to Vooch or expecting one of them to create their shot every couple of possessions, well, Zach should fit into that role like a glove the same way Kobe has, but be better at it.
Yeah, and I do want to point out one thing when we're talking about how Billy's going to, you know, go forward with this when Zach does return. There was one substitution in the game, and this happened in the first quarter towards the end, where we saw 5 out and 5 in. I wanted to get your thoughts on that because I was a little unsettled with it just because we were kind of, we were outscored 30-24 in the first quarter, but we were right there with them. And I felt like we started losing it because you saw Thad come in, you saw Lowry come in, you saw Satoransky come in, Denzel and Troy Brown Jr. I didn't like that. And the reason I didn't like that is because, you know me, man, I'm a proponent of riding kind of the hot hand when it's there. And then if you want to, you know, make your adjustments in the second quarter, you know, like what you have to do, stagger the guys that are making it work. And I know the only guy at the time that was really making it work was Vooch. I just don't like that 5-in and 5-out thing because you get a completely new feel, especially when you're, well, if they're trying to win the game. I wanted to get your thoughts on that real quick because he did not do that again. After that happened and after we lost that first quarter, it did not happen like that again.
I think when it's your first substitution, because he rode that first lineup for so long, it was a matter of it would offset his rotations for the rest of the game if he didn't sub all of them at that point in time because he rode them a little bit longer. I'd be curious to see if he explains that post-game because I'm sure somebody's going to ask him. Because
yeah, I didn't even notice
that it was a 5-and-out. I thought I saw 4 guys. I knew there was a whole bunch of bodies at the table. But I didn't really even overanalyze it to that point. I came into the first quarter a little bit late, so I wasn't real sure what happened, you know, the first 3-4 minutes of the game.
Well, I was trying to get Ren to bed, and I had my AirPod so I can, like, listen to the game. As I'm putting her to bed, you know, read her a book, have the AirPod in so I can kind of still listen to what's going on.
Man, super dead. I don't even have a good excuse. Why you got to do me like that?
I'm sorry, bro. I'm sorry. But, you know, I'm just trying to get her to bed, you know. And I'm listening to it and I'm like, okay, so five in, five out. And then, you know, obviously the swing towards Boston's favor starts kind of happening there. And I'm just kind of like, damn, man, I'm like, at that, you know, you're threatening to win the quarter, at least tie the quarter or be not as far away as you were. And six isn't, you know, they played like shit in the first quarter and being down only six, I had comfort in that because the Bulls were not playing well and they're only down six. So I found comfort in it, but I don't like that. I don't like when you sub the whole lineup out, especially when Vooch had that hot hand. Like, stay competitive, figure it out when you move into the second quarter. But what you're saying makes sense as well, because it was late in the first quarter. They did make that adjustment. They did make that sub. So I guess it makes sense, you know, to keep his rotations whole instead of breaking them.
Yeah, that's the only logical thing I could think of is, hey, I rode these guys a little bit longer because they were doing good, but if I don't do this full five-man sub, which I guess even then you could still, you know, could have left Vooch out there and just done four like, you know, I thought that I had witnessed. But that's the only logical thing that would make sense to me is it would offset the rest of the rotations to kind of just pick and pull.
Right.
So I don't know if Billy ever has a set rotation going into a game because we see some weird shit. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt because we got the W. I'm not being overly critical tonight.
No, I understand completely. So Bulls go 41 for 90 from the field, 45%. 11 for 32. What was that?
I said, given the first half, that's good.
Yeah. 11 for 32 from downtown, 34%. 9 for 10 on their free throws. Boston went 14 for 15 on theirs. Bulls out-rebounded Boston by 140 to 39. Bulls had 11 steals to Boston's 8. Total turnovers for the Bulls was 12 to Boston's 16. Points in the paint, 40 for the Bulls, 46 for the Celtics. The largest lead for the Celtics was 12. Largest lead for the Bulls was 8. I do want to touch on this. Out of 41 made total baskets tonight, the Bulls assisted on 30 of those 41 made baskets. So that's pretty good. Pretty good shit.
No, I mean, and the assists have been pretty consistent over these last three games too. It really, man, I hate going back to Zach. We should be celebrating winning and not thinking about when Zach comes back, but it brings the question. And the Bulls have been a rather good passing team all year, despite the excessive turnovers, because your two main ball handlers in Zach and Kobe can get a little careless. But does Billy stick to this formula? Does Zach buy into this formula? Because it looks like something that could work. And I think it's somewhat obvious. Like, I think you could explain to a five-year-old and be like, all right, buddy, if you have a basketball team and you have five players and you put three of them out there at a time who don't play any defense, are you going to win any games? He'd probably look at you and go, no, simple math. Three's greater than two. That's too much deficiency. And unless you're all cooking on offense, you're not overcoming that. So I hope it's just as blatantly obvious as it is to us sitting here, as it is to Billy at this point in the season, where we need it. If we want to make the plan and, you know, like clockwork, we said if we put on a win streak, we'd be happy about it after hopping in the tank. We apparently just made sure that the winterization was all good. The tank still runs. If we need it, it's ready to go. But for now, I think we might even be able to put the keys back up on the coat rack.
All right. Well, I'll take that. I mean, I like winning. I do like winning. Before we move into the next game, summer is approaching. So keep your boys fresh. Keep them clean. Keep them smelling great. Keep it trimmed. Go to manscaped.com. Use promo code ONTAP. Get the lawnmower 3.0, ball deodorant, the ball toner. Get all this awesome stuff over at manscaped.com. If you go there, use promo code ONTAP, you'll get 20% off and free shipping. Check out Manscaped. Promo code
ONTAP. If you order it now, you might get it before I get mine.
That's so horrible. I'm a terrible person. It's just sitting there. It's literally just sitting there in the box. Laziness is what comes to mind. Laziness is what comes to mind there for that.
Nah, you're a busy filler. I'll give you a break still.
Oh, I appreciate that. So the Bulls play the Cavs, and that's going to be on the 21st, which is Wednesday. Play the Cavs at 6 in Cleveland. Injury report for the Bulls is Zach LaVine, who's out obviously on the health and safety protocol list, and then Larry Nance Jr. is day-to-day. You know, Bulls are going up against a team that's not as good as them. Want to be careful with my words here because, you know, we all have seen how that kind of worked out. But they did beat Cleveland in the last game right before this game. Actually, they beat them 106-96 to start off our little two-game win streak that we have going on here. So we do have Cleveland next in Cleveland.
Followed by Charlotte. We did get news that LaMelo Ball has been cleared to begin individual basketball activities.
In 7 to 10 days.
So he will not be back for that game.
No.
So the next two games should be rather winnable then.
Yeah, I think so. And I think the next two games are winnable for the Bulls. I mean, especially if they do what they did tonight. If you're going to play defense, I mean, the last two nights in a row, they've played defense. And that is what has turned this thing around. So if they're going to keep doing what they did, there's no reason.
Won 4 games in a row, Buzz. Imagine getting put into the NBA protocol and having to sit at home and watching your team win more games in a row than you've ever won in your career.
Well, that might be a wake-up call. I don't know. Maybe that'll be something to change his game. I don't know.
Okay.
You know, I mean, maybe it'll be a wake-up call to Zach to see, okay, well, this is the way Kobe did it, and it's been working. You know, I could hit these shots. I'm not going to start 1 for 7. I'm an all-star. I can adapt, and I'm going to find a way to play with this other all-star because it's more than stats. It's about winning ball games. So maybe that, you know, and I'm not accusing Zach of anything. I'm just saying maybe that is something that will ring true in his head. And if he does that, like you had said before, and Billy tweaks this lineup, if they really want to make a run, I'm seeing dollar signs on that, man. I'm seeing W's, you know, so I'm hoping that, you know, he takes notice of this. Team defense is very important, and that's the thing I kind of want to touch on before we leave here and just give my final thoughts on the game, I guess. Kobe White gets shit on a lot, and we've shit on him. I mean, not horribly shit on him. I've always been kept a consistent energy with Kobe White that I do believe that he could be a good player. I do believe that he brings value to a team. I just do think that he got in his own head, and he has been somewhat misused, but he hasn't been used in the right setting for him to succeed. But tonight, the way he played, starting off cold, looking for his teammates and playing defense, because that's what he did tonight. He played defense too. If he keeps doing that and Zach comes back and does that same thing, again, I don't see why you can't go on a run. I'm not going to overreact because this team was getting beat the shit out of night in and night out. We covered every one of those games. And I know we're trying to put the keys back up, not start the car yet, but they need
to. I looked at the back half of the schedule. We might want to keep our keys in our pocket.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
Miami twice, Milwaukee twice, Nets twice. I mean, the last two games of the season are the Nets and the Bucks. If their seeding's already set, maybe they rest. Maybe those are gimmies and we don't know it yet. And you got the Crafters.
Shit, almost every game this year has been a gimme against the 500 team sitting people.
Yeah, this is true. But you'd like to think if they sat everybody and were just, you know, having tryouts for next year like they did during the beginning of the bubble last year, that you could steal those games. You're playing Timothy Luau Carrot Top. And then you got a game against Detroit in there. We like to beat up on Detroit. But no, I mean, I don't know. Gonna have to, you know, ride this heater and build on it because it isn't getting easier. That's we'll leave it at that.
Consistency is key. And obviously you're not gonna be able to stop superstars when you play them. We know that. You know, they're gonna get theirs usually. But if they keep playing defense the way they did tonight and they keep communicating on both ends of the court, you're going to see a lot more of these wins. It's about meshing together, playing well together, knowing where each other are on the court and capitalizing where people are more inept and comfortable to get their buckets. And that's what needs to happen to continue winning these games. Because like I said, you know, I love to jump in and I just want to do cartwheels right now. Cause we won 2 in a row and we beat Boston. Cause we weren't super convinced after we did Bulls on Tap post game for the Cleveland show, we were like, ah, shit, got Boston here. Let's hope we can do this. But they came out and did everything that we wanted them to do. And then some, actually. So
the first time I didn't bet on the Bulls on Bet Rivers in like 5 games, and they fucking won. That's the way the cookie crumbles.
Let's go. You got anything else, my man?
No, nothing else. Let's beat Cleveland again because nobody likes Cleveland.
Yeah, Cleveland
sucks. And let's take advantage of the Hornets while they're without their young rookie. And then let's get ready for Jimmy Butler back-to-back. Because that's going to be a fun one. Playing Jimmy's always got a little tug on your heartstrings because you miss him so much. But I like those matchups. I prefer when Zach's here because I feel like Zach head-to-head with Jimmy is actually
– he gets up for those games.
Yeah, I think he's gotten the best of them a couple of times. So we'll miss Zach for those games. But, yeah, let's ride this heater. Let's get three. Let's get four. Fuck it. Let's get six.
I dig it. I dig the confidence. Everybody be sure you're going on tapsportsnet.com for all your Chicago sports literature and podcasting needs. Following us on Twitter at Bulls on Tap, at On Tap Sportsnet. Following Goose at Bull Scripted and me at Buzz on Tap. 5-star rating and review anywhere you can listen to podcasts. We'll be back Wednesday night after the Chicago Bulls play the Cleveland Cavaliers and what is hopefully to be a 3-game win streak. Let's go, Bulls.